Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Citizens, hope you're doing well. Football Boys here with a bonus edition of New Amsterdam Radio this week. Not too often we do these, but I'm so glad we do. Every so often I come across somebody who is doing something in the field, which I think you'll enjoy, especially for us out there trying to make sense of what's happening on the real estate market. Alex Capozzolo from SD House Guys and Brotherly Love Real Estate is on the show this week to talk about trends in the industry and what it takes to have a business to help people sell their homes as quickly as possible for whatever reason they may come across. So you're definitely going to enjoy that. But if you haven't already, make sure you follow the podcast. 5 stars if you're listening on that Apple Podcast machine or that Spotify podcast machine. And if you're out there and about, you want to say hello on that social media platforms at New Amsterdam on Instagram and at New_Amsterdam on that X, formerly known as Twitter. Let's get into it after the jump. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boyce, in the mayor's office, hanging with those who are doing the dang thing. And you know what about entrepreneurship and creativity? There's a lot of intersections. So I want to welcome a very special guest. I practiced this before we actually started because I want to make sure I get it right. Alex Capozzolo, please welcome to the show, my friend.
Perfect.
So let's get things out of the way. You are in the fantastic and dynamic world of real estate, SD House Guys and Brotherly Love Real Estate. Talk to me now. It's 2023. It was a whole pandemic that happened recently. What's been the prognosis from your end?
The prognosis on like how it is right now? Or
Yeah.
It's an interesting time to be in real estate. If you follow macro stuff, it feels like the market's frozen, so no one wants to sell. Interest rates are high.
Sure.
Millennials and people coming up are struggling to buy houses because wages aren't keeping up with inflation and
right.
All sorts of crazy stuff. But the prices are still going up, which is leaving everyone pretty bamboozled. So Not many people know what to do. And the only people really selling now are people that have to. So it's like divorce, inheritance, like major life situations. So those are the people that we've been helping out with. Are helping out the most recently are ones that are just really dealing with, you know, tough situations and they need to sell.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know sometimes selling a house could be very difficult, right? I mean, a lot of people don't really think about how many times they have to move house. And so your businesses help out with that. So what exactly do you do to help someone out that really wants to move or offload their property?
Well, we first listen to them. You know, everyone's dealing with such drastically different situations. Being in the business 8 years, we still hear new stuff every day. And a lot of it's just being human to human, you know. Yeah, we're buying a house, they're selling a house, whatever. That's the product, that's the industry. But like it really comes down to just hearing them out and trying to help them out with their current situation. And oftentimes it's a tough one, filled with a ton of layers, a lot of emotions, a lot of people, you know, we've worked with families who they inherited a property from their parents who passed away. And there's like 9 siblings. And oftentimes, not all 9 siblings are on the same page. So
Right. And you get caught in the middle, huh?
Yeah, you know, so stuff like that. But we learn the situation, learn the timeline, and then just see how best we can help them out. And if we can create win-win situations, that's really all we're trying to do at the end of the day.
Well, walk me through this. I mean, there's obviously a bit of a human element to things, to the proceedings. What made you decide to focus on this side of helping others? I mean, you could have done a million things, but when did you realize this was your path?
It's a good question. I guess just being a people person, you know, right? There's a lot of different stuff, even within real estate that aren't directly working with people. You could just build houses and then, you know, have someone sell them for you. Lots of different stuff. But yeah, every day is super different. Every day is super wild and fun. It doesn't get boring. So I'd say just that and the dynamic fluidity of it and working with people is just a blast.
So I was actually doing some research here, and between SD House Guys and Brotherly Love Real Estate, San Diego and Philadelphia, where are you based? You go back and forth? Like how do you juggle the portfolio in those different cities?
Yeah, it's probably, if you're just looking at both websites, it might be a little confusing. So I live in San Diego, California. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have some business going on out here. No rentals out here yet, but we're working on that. So we'll see. TBD 2024, baby.
Crossing fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. Crossing everything, whatever we got. And then our entire rental portfolio is based in Philadelphia. That's where I used to live, and that's where my partner is based. And that's where most of our business is at this point. And, you know, it works out. We just tag team everything and whatever I can do from the computer, since a lot of our stuff is in Philly. I do. Okay. I'm getting up 3 hours earlier to talk to people, 7 a.m. my time, 10 a.m. their time.
Right.
So, you know, just jumping in wherever we can to keep the train moving.
So you're like me that way. So I'm also from the East Coast originally. I live out west now. I have two different vibes, two different feelings. I mean, like, how is business different on the people front, dealing with the West Coast and the East Coast? I mean, how did you balance that?
Ooh, so different. So different, dude. Yeah, if you're from the East Coast, so you know.
Yeah.
Man, what works out here doesn't work out there, and vice versa. People on the East Coast are just, they're straight to the point, no BS, no fluff. And once the second they smell fluff is the second they hang up. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I think I jive with that vibe more. It's just like being straight up and being real. I can talk a lot, so I try not to be too fluffy. But
sure.
Yeah, in California, it's very, very different than that.
You're not wrong, man. Transparency is worth its weight in gold. So I live in Los Angeles, which is like a different kind of a fluff. It's like fluff from all over the country. Everyone descends with their own flavor of fluff. So
totally, yeah.
I'm with you on that one. So as being an entrepreneur, I've just got to ask, what does the day look like? Do you get up in the morning, you hit it hard, 4 o'clock in the morning, drinking raw eggs and hit the gym and reading two novels a day? Or is it kind of like as it goes? Like, what's your approach to running a business?
Yeah, drinking raw eggs like Rocky. Philly. Right. No, yeah, don't do that. Used to get up kind of earlier, get up at 5 or 6, do an hour of work on my computer, take my wife to work because we share a car. So we do a little husband-wife bonding time in the morning in the car because that's just where we're at.
Sure.
Or what we're doing. And then it's dynamic, but a lot of it's computer time. So I do all the marketing, digital marketing, website stuff for the two businesses that we run. And we, our primary driver for bringing in leads, having people find us, is showing up on Google. So it's not even PPC and Google ads. We're not paying to be up there. We're ranking organically, which takes a long time, very long time to do. So a lot of my job is in day to day is still just on the computer, typing away, doing blogs, content, backlinks, SEO type stuff for both of our real estate sites. Cause we have two now, just one in Philly and one in San Diego. So that's a lot of it. I handle the leads on the first call a lot of the times because my partner's in meetings in Philly and doing stuff more on the road.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of tag team everything else, depending on who's free and who can do it.
You know, I was actually reading an article from the U.S. News World Report that was saying that San Diego is now the new number one most expensive city in the country. Congratulations. I don't know how to say about that. But, I mean, have you seen that on your end and in like with other meetings, other professionals in that area? Like, have you seen that change?
Yeah, definitely. It's pretty clear. And I think a lot of people have moved here even since the pandemic, like you mentioned earlier, you know, people working remotely, people just wanting the nice weather. It's similar to LA. There's just always going to be a demand for it, you know? So yeah, people have moved here and the demand is just outpacing the supply. And that's what's continuing to make things expensive, skyrocket. A lot of people from SF and the Bay Area moving down who
have
tech jobs and they can obviously afford stuff. So a lot of different variables that are kind of making it more expensive.
By the way, it's a real beautiful city. I can't lie. I know I've spent many a night at Gas Lab. I feel like I'm like aging into the demographic there. But when I was in my teens and 20s, I was having a good time there as well. So nice. If I was a potential client, you know, and I have a property, I mean, there's so much information out there of where to go. You put something into the Google machine, there's ads that go from left to right. What exactly do you offer that like someone else may not to help me on my journey to get rid of my property or to sell my property?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we say not a lot of different things. We have like a couple bullet points that we usually say when trying to differentiate ourselves. But like the realest thing I would say, which is kind of hard to measure. It's really hard to measure, actually, because we don't totally track it. I don't think any company does, is like how often we actually close. There's so many investors that just they'll give you an offer. They'll lowball you or they'll highball you. Sorry. They'll, you know, give you the price that you're looking for. And then they'll try to knock you down after you're under contract based on a contingency saying, hey, the roof sucks, the porch is broken, the door's falling off, I'm going to pay you 20 grand less for this house. And you're kind of in bed with them at that point. You can still back out mostly, but it's like, you know, a lot of people get stuck in that trap. They've invested a lot of time and money. And if time is a constraint for them, oftentimes they still have to go with that investor, which, you know, just doesn't feel good. It's icky. And it's, you know, it's just not a cool way to go about doing business. Not saying all companies do that, but we've seen it in both markets. So I would just say, like, we really don't get into a project unless we're pretty darn confident that we can close it.
Yeah. So
I don't know what our percentage is. I wish I did. I feel like it's pretty high, and I feel like it's above most companies. So I'd just say, like, you know, we're not going to work with someone and establish that human to human relationship, a connection, try and help them out with their issues, which are legitimate, big, hard issues. Unless we know we can absolutely actually help them out. We don't like wasting people's time.
Yeah. I mean, that to me is so refreshing, especially when you have such an item tagged to so many memories and so many situations around it. So many companies are not willing to say, hey, look, we can help you. This is not the best fit for us. We want to make sure that we have a relationship together. A lot of times, all the bigger guys are kind of like, yeah, whatever, just give us a sack of cash. We'll figure it out in the back end, which is very, very dangerous, if not catastrophic. So I appreciate you for doing that, because, yeah, you are dealing with people who have like years and years potentially in their properties.
Totally. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So how does you said you have your partner on the East Coast, like, what's the management relationship like? Is it kind of a back and forth? Is it kind of hierarchical? Like, how do you work with your team to really hit your quarterly or monthly or weekly goals when you have your business running?
Our relationship's pretty unique in a good way. We've known each other since we were 5 years old. So we're like super tight, uber bromance buddies. He was the best man at my wedding. I was just the best man at his wedding this past August. So we're like, you know, it's like super, it's like cheesy to the point where it's like so bromancy. But that like, you know, when you're going to business with a friend, it can go a lot of different ways.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes it can totally sour it and it sucks. But we're lucky. Yeah. We're just really good at communication, and we're both oftentimes already on the same page with stuff, which I guess is lucky and hard to kind of pre-orchestrate that. We just always communicate with each other about everything. And that just boils down to like being actually super real, even in times when like you feel some type of way about something. Like, say, like for example, I just got back from a 2-week trip. I was in Asia, right? Last week. Yeah. He managed the ship. I went to Japan and Vietnam.
Oh, I love Japan.
Japan's awesome. Yeah. So fun. Yeah, love Japan. Nihonga daisuki desu. I love Japan.
Way more than I know, but what's up?
But, you know, I felt bad, obviously, because, like, we work for ourselves. We don't have set PTO days. If we're not working, we might not be making money, and we want it to be an even fair trade because we're just splitting everything, all the profits 50-50. So for times like that, we have a conversation before. I'm like, dude, do you feel okay about this? Like, you should also take a vacation. How are you doing? Checking in. And then also even off, like sometimes we offer each other, be like, yo, next time we do a draw, like next time we pay ourselves, you take $1,000 more because you know, I just went on a 2-week trip and did not really anything. Sure. So just communication, dude, is really what it boils down to, but real communication. Is what
it's like. So it's like a weekly check-in, or as it happens, or is it every day? It's like, here's what I'm working on, kind of a thing.
Yeah, in terms of structure, we have a weekly call Monday morning where we just talk about everything. So sometimes that does include feelings, emotions, and that side of stuff.
Kind of a personal question. Like, a lot of times when the startup launches, it's something called like the paper napkin moment, where everyone's in the diner and they have the idea and they write it down. Did you have a situation like that where like, oh, this is it, this is what we want to do? Or was it kind of like an organic thing, or one thing built over the other? Like, how did the actual company start this formation? Like, how did it come about?
We both got at least interested in real estate from reading a book. I read it, and then I was in California. He's on the East Coast. This was 7 years ago, 8 years ago. And I read it, but I was like, I had a late night. It was a weekend, but I was so excited about it. After a couple drinks, it was like 3 a.m. my time, but he was up 6 a.m. East Coast time. I literally like texted him a bunch. I was like, dude, you gotta read this book. Yeah. Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Sure.
Any listeners are into real estate that might have heard of it, or, you know, business, whatever. But that was like our real estate moment. I think that like that, and then Bigger Pockets, diving into that, the podcast, just hearing people, multiple people say their stories about getting rentals, financial freedom, all that stuff. That was probably our like napkin light bulb moment of where we're like, this is what we should do together. Let's give it a shot, kind of thing.
Wow. And after long hours, we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to our show, and I always ask this question a lot to our guests, and those long days, you know, of working, and even not even so much working on a client, but like working to make yourself out there to potentially have clients. How do you refill that cup after putting in 12, 15, 18, 20 hour days to go, okay, let's get back at it tomorrow. Woo.
Yeah, it's hard for sure. It's a good question because, you know, especially with people working remotely now more than ever, it's like, it's also easy just to continue working at your house. Laptop's there. It's always open. Wi-Fi is ready to go. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
For me, and it'll vary per person, I just try and like break up the day with little chunks of different stuff off my computer, because a lot of my time is computer and it sucks to stare at a computer for 8 hours type. It's just not me, not my vibe. Some people can maybe do it, but it's hard. It's taxing for sure. So what I do, walk in the morning, first thing, jump out of bed, put my jeans on, go on a walk. Stretch, try to have some kind of morning structure to feel like I won the morning, even if right. I have like a massive day ahead of me. So then I at least feel not too crappy about my massive day. That might not be super fulfilling.
Yeah.
So yeah, do that kind of stuff, like meditate in the morning sometimes. And then I've been surfing during the day, which obviously like super fortunate living in San Diego. Yeah. I'll like work at a coffee shop and then like by the beach or something, work for 4 or 5 hours, surf for an hour and a half, which I consider like my workout for the day. So instead of going to the gym, I'll do that. And then back to another Starbucks or whatever, and then work for another 5 hours or so.
Man, I tried surfing once and only once, and I ended up upside down with sand in my ears. I don't know how you have the balance or the wherewithal to keep trying, man. I respect that. Props.
It's like learning anything, dude. It's like when you first time snowboarding, like your butt just hurts so bad because you're falling the whole time. It's like surfing. You're like, you're not even catching a wave until like you're, you know, a couple times in. Yeah, it's hard. I got lucky. One of my roommates was a really good surfer, so he taught me. He like coached me on how to catch a wave and stuff. So
absolutely. So how long have you been in business? Without me asking, just a quick.
Yeah, we've been in and out of real estate for like 8 years, and then but like officially Brotherly Love and SD House Guys started like 5 years ago.
Okay. So as we roll into year six, I mean, have you had the roadmap for the next year of goals and check marks? And if so, what do they look like for you and your brand, your company?
Yeah, it's funny. What's that one book? Traction.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a good one. So that's like super in depth with goals. It's about the rocks and the this and that. So we tried that and like, yeah, it's funny. Like both me and my partner are a little different. Like I think I liked having intense structure, and like we had too much stuff on our reports monthly, weekly, yearly. And it was like, I think I liked it, but then looking back, it might've been too much maybe.
Sure.
So we did that for a bit and that was like cool and kind of like, you know, did add value. But, at this point we've tried so many things too, like in terms of marketing and how to grow the business. So we know all the things we don't want to try again, like cold calling, texting, door knocking,
right?
PPC, like all these things we spent so much money on, maybe are in the green with some, but it's like it generated so many leads. But a lot of them were low quality. So we ended up just talking to so many people and on the East Coast who got so pissed off at us.
Yeah.
Cause we're just calling them out of the blue or whatever. So we've since pivoted about a year and a half ago to just SEO inbound leads. So people find us on Google and they reach out to us because they have a problem, which is just a totally different vibe and conversation. It's been way better. I think your question was about goals. So yeah, just like we just want to do more of that. So we're trying to get ranked a little bit better in San Diego. That's just like one thing. We know if we do it, we have everything else in place. And it should just help out the business.
That's fascinating. Actually, I'm going to stop my next question here, because I think a lot of us, when we start, we do the because I guess the old school way of starting a business is you go out there, you pound that pavement, load the widgets in your suitcase, and go door to door. But it didn't work out for you. That must have been crazy for someone who may not have been an entrepreneur, but was giving you probably that year one advice, being like, go out there, knock some doors down, and it just wasn't working for you. What was the moment where you're like, oh my gosh, this is actually hurting us?
Yeah, it takes a while to realize. That's the tough part about being in business, is like you almost have to try a marketing channel for a good chunk of time sometimes. And right, you might have a good month with it and that's like super solid and you're jazzed. You're like, okay, good, this works. But then you have a couple bad months. So it kind of takes, you know, the more data, the better to make any decision, right? Especially when it's mm-hmm. about your own business. So yeah, I would just say a lot of trial and error looking at it and just being like trying to be brutally honest with ourselves versus trying to convince ourselves that something does or doesn't work because of other reasons besides the numbers.
Yeah. And how do you celebrate, or how does your team celebrate a win? Like when you have a good month or a good week or a really cool client you're interacting with, how you go, hey, we made it, guys.
Yeah, we could probably do a little better job of that, honestly. I bet we would do it more if I lived next to my partner, you know. But being so far away, we voice text every day. So we're hearing each other's voices every day and talking and stuff. Yeah. We usually just send each other photos. Like if it's a weekend, be like, yo, dude, got this like cool six pack of new IPAs. Yay, we closed this one. Let's go, boys, kind of stuff.
Love it.
But I'm curious, what have you done like with your podcast, or what have you seen with other guests that is like,
well, that's a very funny question. So I have like five jobs myself. As a wedding DJ, I usually take myself out on a date. And by that, I mean, I get all dressed up. I go to the bar. I get myself that second drink. If I'm like doing a stand-up show and I do very well, then I kind of like, you know, write it down in my journal. I did a good thing. Sometimes you see two camps when it comes to entrepreneurs. Either some people go, oh man, a win is just, we do every day. You know, the mailman doesn't celebrate when he delivers the mail. That's his job. But then you have other people who say, hey, look, we stop down, we take our team out, usually when they have employees, to make sure they're valued and appreciated. So it's always cool. There's no right answer. I think it's kind of cool to see how each company does it. So it's kind of curious there.
Yeah, I like the, like, even just taking yourself out, because like maybe people are busy, maybe you're, you know, whatever, just timing works out. It's like, no, this just happened. It helped me out. It's what I've been working towards, and you're celebrating it. Okay. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, rooftop lounges are my thing. Even if I'm looking at like the worst view on the planet, it's like I'm high up.
Yeah.
Alleyway, like, I'm looking over.
Yeah.
I made it. On New Amsterdam Radio, we ask our guests a lot of these department questions. I want to know if you're down to play with me. If you're not, the show's over. So please say yes.
Dude, let's play.
All right. Do you believe in days off? And if so, what do you do?
Yes. Travel. Go somewhere else. Get an Airbnb. Explore it.
Well, that's usually the second question I always ask the guests. What is on your travel bucket list? Where's something you want to go you haven't gone so far yet?
Yeah. A lot of the world to see. Peru and Croatia are the next two places of interest. With my wife, we wanted to do Machu Picchu
for a
couple of years, so I thought that could be cool. We both like to hike a lot, and we like that kind of food, like Peruvian, South American style. So,
is there a hike in Croatia? I've never been.
Probably not as much in Croatia, but just like cool coastal cities to explore, like Game of Thrones, if you like that. A lot of it was
in Croatia.
Yeah, so like the architecture's sick. There's a lot of Italian influence because like the Italian monarchs used to cruise over to Croatia across the Adriatic Sea for their summers back in the day. So
that's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, like there's
like how you get the boys if you go to Vegas. I was like, let's go to Croatia. We're having the time of our lives. Everybody collects something. What do you collect, my friend?
What do I collect?
Yeah. Memories, trinkets, sports memorabilia.
Let's go with plants. I have the most temptation to buy something new when I go to a plant store or see plants there. I'm like, let's get some more plants.
Okay. Are you a succulent guy or are you like a perennial guy?
So I'm not even that educated on plants.
Buy plants.
Yeah, we've just plants. Yeah. Just
I respect plants. That. I love that. What's the greatest thing a fan or someone that loves your work has given you as a gift?
A bottle of whiskey from this Irish family that we helped. I think they moved back to Ireland from Philly.
Wow.
And they gave my partner, and we shared a bottle of Jameson. That was pretty cool.
See, that's a very East Coast story. Like a family that shows up in a town for 10 years, changes everyone's life, and just leaves.
Totally. Yeah. Classic. Yeah.
Do you have a mantra or a catchphrase you can tell yourself to hype yourself up? And if so, can you mind sharing it?
Gone through a lot. You know, I used to even like write stuff on a bit. I got those like big staple sticky note things, the like 4 foot tall ones. So I used to do that and have a bunch of quotes on the wall. Don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I'd say the one I'm jiving with right now would be, what if everyone around you in the universe or in the world was here to support you?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You can't lose. Yeah. And lastly, because you are familiar with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, why are sheets?
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's a tough. Oh, Wawa, dude.
Wow. Like, choose wisely.
Yeah. Wow. That's an amazing. I can't believe you asked that question. You yeah. got you know.
I'm a hard-hitting journalist. I get all the tough questions.
Yeah. Wait, what about you?
I'm from New York, and I went to school in Florida, so I've only experienced Wawa's. But people who are team sheets are very adamant about their sheets, so that's why I always ask if people from Pennsylvania which side they are.
Yeah, everyone's got their sandwich maker tribe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And but the thing is, the ones in like Jersey or Pennsylvania are kind of like modest. The ones in Florida are like these giant like roadside 20 gas station pump monstrosity. They're like a whole different brand Wawa down there. It's nuts.
Oh wow. I haven't been to a Florida one. That's
you gotta go out, you can check it out.
I can't imagine a bigger and better one. So that's
yeah, seriously
cool.
It's like Florida and Pennsylvania are so different, but there's Wawa's and Yinglings in both. And that's pretty much
yeah.
I shrug.
It's actually great. Yeah.
Alex, thanks so much for being on the show, man. I hope people really see you out online. How'd they go about doing that? If they want to connect with you or learn more about your businesses.
I would just go to SD. So for San Diego, sdhouseguys.com. We have a lot of different guides on stuff. So if you're a beginner in real estate, you can, you know, we write long form guides on a lot of stuff that's helped us out and just basic real estate stuff. The whole gamut. So I'd start there, and then all of our socials are connected there. Contact info and whatnot is all on the website. So sdhouseguys.com.
Wow, man. I hope to see even bigger and better stuff from you and your brands. Seems like a cool guy, man. I bet you're awesome on the business front as well. If I ever get out of the shoebox in Los Angeles, I may have to give you a call down the road. Thanks so much for being on the show. New Amsterdam, the podcast for creatives.
Thanks, Flobo. Appreciate being on. Yeah, hit me up whenever you're down in San Diego, or we should just take a trip to Florida and go to a mega Wawa. That'd be cool.
Let's do it. Yeah, bye.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's kneamsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.